Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 133, Chicken Wing Nirvana. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking. Getting in the kitchen, having more fun, learning things, getting inspired, sharing hints and tips and recipes. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today, because today I am welcoming back my friend Hiro from the True Bromance Film Podcast to talk about the culinary love of his life, the chicken wings. So we're going to get deep into chicken wings in a moment. Before we get there, though, I want to let you know that if you're interested in something we mention on the show and you're looking for the show notes, you'll be able to find them over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/133, just the number 133. You'll get to the show notes for this episode where I will put links to things that Hiro and I talk about, not least of which are a couple of other episodes that Hiro was on the show with me here for. We talked about Latin American favorites and another one, 10 favorite sandwiches. It's entirely possible he's been on the show on another time, but I can't think of it. Anyway, I'll put links to those episodes and other stuff we mentioned, including some links to recipes at kitchencounterpodcast.com/133. Now, if you'd like to get a hold of me directly, and a lot of you have been doing that, and I absolutely love hearing from you, so please don't hesitate to drop a note and say hi. It makes my day. You can send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. But maybe even better these days is to head over to our Facebook group for the show, and you can get there by going to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. And then you can ask to be let into the group, and we'll let you in. We're not that exclusive. We love to hear from you and interact with you. And you can ask me questions or interact with me or all the other listeners who have joined the group. We have a lot of fun over there. We share a lot of pictures and ask questions and post recipes and all that kind of stuff. So check that out. All right. So Hiro and I talk a lot about chicken wings. I want to get right to it, so I'm going to keep the intro there for now. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Hiro about chicken wing Nirvana. All right, I'm here with Hiro, and we're going to be talking about the greatest party appetizer snack food of all time. Deep fried mozzarella sticks.
Oh, settle down.
No, actually, potato skins.
Oh no, those are not bad.
Fried calamari.
Also a fan.
Okay, what are we talking about for real though?
We're talking about the great culinary experience that is the chicken wing, the great American culinary experience.
That is the chicken wing, also known as the buffalo wing.
That's true.
But we're not going to limit ourselves here. So this is funny. We were chatting just before we were recording, and you've pointed out that this is not the first time we've actually talked about this.
Right. So you were actually on my podcast, the True Bromance Film Podcast, a few years ago, episode 50. And I guess for context, we're somewhere around episode 200 and maybe 15, 20, something like that. And talking about a film, a really small independent film called the Great Chicken Wing Hunt. And yeah, we had a real great conversation with yourself and the director of the film, Matt Reynolds. So this is kind of like an ongoing series for us now, talking about wings.
Yeah, and I should yes, and I'll put the link to your show also in the show notes. And also, I should mention that this isn't the first time you've been on this show either. I think you've been on at least a couple other times. So yeah. We talked about Latin American favorite foods, and then did we do a sandwich one?
Maybe, yes.
Is that some ringing a bell?
We did, yeah.
Yeah. Those are the two that come to mind. So I'll put a link to both of those in the show notes too, if anybody wants to go back for Hiro's greatest hits.
There it is. That's what they want.
that's what the fans are clamoring for. All right, man. So we're going to talk chicken wings, and you are, I wanted you back on the show because you're a blast to talk with about food.
Oh, wow,
and we were kind of spitballing ideas, and you're like, I am the world's foremost expert on chicken wings. That's what I want to talk about. And I said, okay, challenge accepted. I don't know if that's a challenge. And you're here. So we're going to talk about wings. You're going to give us, I think, a little background on wings in general. And then we're going to go through, just to outline it for folks, we're going to talk about, it'll be conversational, components of what we think the perfect wing is and how to get there.
Yeah, yeah. I fancy myself quite the expert on chicken wings. And my entire family knows that it's easily my favorite food. I'm not a sweets guy. You know, people like... you'll see them talking about foods and, oh my goodness, I can't resist an Oreo. I can't resist a cheesecake or things like that. And I easily just walk away from those, you know, culinary nights. I like them. I could easily walk away. But a chicken wing really just drags me in and hooks me in. So, yeah, I'm very passionate about my wings.
Do you want to should we start out by talking about like wing history or do we care?
I don't know. I mean, funny thing is, I've actually been to the birthplace of the chicken wing. It's a little restaurant called the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York. I've been there a few times. I made the pilgrimage and had their wings.
Well, you'll be incredibly disappointed to know that I've been to Buffalo once and I did not go to the Anchor Bar when I was there because I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know what you were thinking. I've even been to the National Buffalo Wing the Buffalo Wing Festival. Like they have like a big national festival that they hold, and like Joey Chestnut comes out and they have a big chicken wing eating competition, and they have multiple vendors and they're all competing to see who has the best chicken wing in America. I've been to that event as well.
Do you remember the first time you ever had a wing?
Oh wow. Actually I do. I mean I was very, very young at a place called the Old Cutler Bar, the Old Cutler Raw Bar. And this is in Miami, Florida. I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And they had like a little bit of a different crunch to them. It was a buffalo wing, the original style, but it had maybe cornstarch or something on it to give it that sort of crunch, that sort of bite to it. But I was enamored from the get-go.
I don't remember my first time, but I do distinctly remember, and this was like certainly after buffalo wings were invented, but like I grew up in Western Oregon in a little town near the coast, and we didn't get like interesting stuff ever there until like 30 years after it came out. But I remember whenever we would barbecue chicken, my mom would always call dibs on the wings, and we all thought she was nuts because it's like, why would you want to eat chicken wings? I mean, it's like she loved them. I mean, it was like her jam, and yeah. I think I kind of get it now. Even though it wasn't like buffalo and hot, it was, but you know, yeah, there's something to it.
You know, as a huge fan of the show, I kind of giggle and snicker at the fact that you call it barbecue.
I know. We've been over this, Hiro.
I know. I can't help myself to bring it up every single time.
I get it. It's grilling.
But you're living in Germany now. They all call it barbecue. Like the Germans will invite me over and say, hey, would you like to come over for a barbecue? I'm like, I don't. You guys do barbecue? I don't know what you're saying, but I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, I really didn't get it until I just had that big plate of wings in front of me. But once I did, I mean, it's been a love story ever since with me and the chicken wing.
All right, let's get into it then. So, what are the components of a perfect wing? Let's list them out because I think you have some parameters, and then we'll jump into each one a little bit more detail.
I do. There are certain things that can't be ignored when we're talking about chicken wings. I think that obviously flavor with every food that we're talking about, flavor is going to be the go-to, the key component. And I think that obviously, you know, you're talking about the buffalo wing, which is a butter base with hot sauce and of course whatever seasoning you want. I tend to love garlic, so I like to add tons of garlic into my personal buffalo wing sauce. But you can make your wing however you want. You can do teriyaki, you could do like a sweet wing. You know, I've recently kind of on a curry kick, so I've been making curry based wings sauces. So the flavor, obviously number one. The texture is the hard part for me. The texture is the hard part for me to master as I'm trying to make wings at home, because I know you got the goal of the kitchen counter is to get those home cooks out there. But the texture's been hard for me because I want a little bit of crunch with my wing. I want that skin to maintain its crunchiness even when the sauce is poured on. For many years, I would try numerous different techniques, and that skin, particularly on the flapper side of the wing, right? The drumstick holds up pretty nice because that white meat, mm-hmm. and the skin doesn't kind of fall apart as you pour the sauce on it. But the flapper, being dark meat or a little fattier, it the second you put on the sauce, it becomes that gummy sort of texture. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever ordered.
Exactly. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. It drives me nuts. It's kind of like
It drives me crazy.
Kind of gooey, and it feels almost like undercooked or something, but it's not. It's just got a real weird.
It's very rubbery. I don't know if you've ever ordered, and I don't want to put them on Front Street, but ordered wings from like Domino's or a pizza place, and they'll show up to your house, and they're wrapped in aluminum foil, and they've been sort of steaming.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, after they've been cooked, and it's the worst.
Soggy wings, man.
Oh, it's the worst. That you bite into it, and it's got that like it's like you're chewing on a bat wing or something like that. You know, it's just gotta fling it. Oh, it's
you wish good. You're chewing on a bat wing at that point.
Yeah, all exactly. Right.
So we got flavor, texture. What else are we looking for?
I think size is key. So the bigger you go with the wing, obviously in America we love our steroids, we love our GMOs in America. I miss them. I'm living in Germany, and I certainly miss them.
Okay, wait, hold on, and we'll go into these again a little bit more too. But the cut, what do you mean by cut? You have this listed out.
The cut. How you cut them? So certain folks like to put the entire wing, drumette, and flapper into the fryer with that little piece at the end. You know,
the little tip
of the wing. Yeah, the little tip. I kind of miss that little tip. I love that little tip. My dad grew up on a farm in Colombia way back when, and he always instilled to be like, eat everything on your plate. You know, it's a very poor upbringing sort of thing. So like my family doesn't eat the gristle on a steak. I think they're spoiled. I tear up that gristle. Just give me your gristle. But that little crunchy piece, if fried just right, it's kind of like a little snack, even though you're pretty much just eating bone and skin at that point.
Okay. And then we're going to talk about sides, but let's leave that for a moment because.
Okay.
So we've got flavor, texture, size, cut, and sides. Should we go back through them and talk a little bit deeper, do you think, on each one of these?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And some of these are might not even merit more conversation because we kind of covered it a little bit. But flavor, I think, is a big one. And I actually asked on our the Facebook group. I should have done it earlier. I didn't even think about it. But I just, because I know a lot of people were probably already offline. But I asked, I just put out there if there's any chicken wing fans out there. And I did get a couple of folks replying.
Okay,
and
they, cool.
Yeah, and they threw out some flavors that they liked. And there was a couple in here I thought were really good. So before I get to them, though, let me just – we'll share our own. Mine is buffalo. I'm a buffalo wing guy. I love the hot – I love the Frank's Red Hot, the butter. I just love buffalo wings. I like other wings, too. But it's like when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings and there's like 600 flavors, it's like you try different ones. I'm never like blown out of the water. It's always like, oh, these are okay. But I want just buffalo wings. What's your go-to wing flavor?
I'm also a buffalo wing kind of guy. I've tried a million different kinds, right? I've tried the Parmesan garlic and the teriyaki, the barbecue, and et cetera, et cetera. But I always come back to old favorite, and it's the buffalo. But I think that there's so many variants of buffalo alone. I've had some with amaretto sort of reduced down and involved in it. It's actually really, really good, shockingly. I've had some with champagne added. I've had buffalo wing sauce with a wide variety of variants, and always good. I think that the one component that I really kind of back up again, and this is, my biggest criticism of the Anchor Bar, the birthplace of the wings, mm-hmm. is that sometimes people can add a little too much vinegar. Vinegar mm-hmm. is a sometimes can be a component of that sauce, and if you go a little too far with it, just vinegar is one of those things. If you go too far, you know it right away. It's just
that bite. And Frank's doesn't have a lot of vinegar whiff to it, does it? Does it even have vinegar in it?
Most hot sauces do, I think.
Yeah, I think Tabasco is like really vinegary.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't think of Frank's as it probably does. I guess I'm sure it does, but it just doesn't have quite that. Like you say, like it just makes your eyes kind of water when you inhale.
Yeah, yeah. And but me being the fatty that I am, I always just add tons of more butter. You know, I love butter on my wing because butter is that I just watched the Julie and Julia movie about Julia Child.
Yeah.
And the Julia Child always has this thing that butter, you could never add too much butter. So I'm a big fan of that as well. So I believe in what you're saying.
Yeah. So on the Facebook group, Joan DeSanti said, we'll talk about technique in a second, but she says she likes to broil and baste with Frank's, some butter and extra garlic.
Yeah. That's exactly what I do.
Now, this is an interesting one. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's exactly what I do. I'll take garlic, smash it, really dice it up fine, and let it sit in butter. Because garlic, you don't want to like overcook it because it becomes really acrid. But I'll let it sit there like on the lowest level, just sort of steep a little bit, get into the butter, move it around, and then they add the Franks and a couple other seasonings. That's proprietary, so I'm not going to give that out. I just stir it in there and prepare as my wings are cooking on the side.
Okay, so here's another one. I want to try this one. This sounds really good. Shelby Nicole says she likes hot garlic or a salt and vinegar dry rub.
Oh, wow.
That sounds good.
That does sound good.
Like a salt and vinegar potato chip in wing form. That sounds really good.
Yeah, I've actually had that before. I forget where we got those, but I've had that. It's actually really good. You know who has that? I don't know if you have Winn-Dixie in your neck of the woods.
No, we do not.
We had a Winn-Dixie in our neighborhood when I was living in Tampa, and they remodeled the entire store. They built a buffalo wing bar, a chicken wing bar, and one of the flavors was salt and vinegar that they would with a rub that they would do, and it was great. I mean, my kids even loved it. They would, you know, ravage the salt and vinegar rub chicken wing. I love it. It was good.
Yeah. Now that you mention that, the Safeway down the street has a chicken wing bar, and I've never gotten any chicken wings out of it because I just didn't know if it would be like, you know, like the Domino's syndrome where they've been sitting in the little warming basket for 3 hours or something.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if they'd be any good, but maybe I'll try it. Maybe they have those.
Yeah. In my opinion, though, the sitting under the heat lamp actually does it some favor. Does it a favor because it dries out that wing a little bit and it helps build that crunch.
Okay.
It's counterintuitive, but it worked.
So we'll get some sauce ideas and put them in the show notes. And if you have any recipes for sauces, send them over to me and I'll get them in there. Is there anything else to say about sauce? Because I think you just made a good segue into texture.
No, I know. I'm a purist. So I'm with Joan. Garlic, buffalo wing, and garlic hot sauce and butter, and you're golden.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about texture. So we got the sauce squared away. So when you're talking about texture, I think we've kind of already talked a little bit about it. You don't want that gummy, gooey consistency. But I think there's probably also another factor here, and that is how you treat the wing before you cook it.
Oh, yeah.
As in, is it naked or is it not? Is that in this category?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I've tried them both ways, right? I don't know if you're familiar, or maybe you are, but the Korean style chicken wing, where it's a more of a cornstarch based coating that goes on it, it's got a great crunch. It's almost like a shell forms around the wing, because there's also the traditional batter, the traditional flour, sometimes breadcrumbs that can be good. You know, I mean, I don't know how many of your fans are. Well, your listeners are fans of this, but Hooters has a breaded wing that's actually really good. Whatever they have in their batter holds up really nicely to the sauce. Me and my family like to go all the time because I actually enjoy the taste of their wings. So they have
Pyro.
But it's. I have a funny picture of me and my wife and my daughter. My daughter was in a like a little carrier sitting on top. She's sitting on top of the table as my wife and I are devouring wings at Hooters as we brought her home from the hospital.
That'll be a great wedding picture to break out one day.
There it is. But I really enjoy that. But the thing is, it's in my opinion, the naked wing is better because the skin becomes so inherently crispy when you do it right. And also the batter can be really filling. So you're not getting as many wings if you've got that that batter. It's actually, for me, it's a little harder to do. But if I was going to do it, I'd go with cornstarch.
And actually, you know what? A really good naked wing done right, it's almost like you can't tell it's not
absolutely
been doctored up. It almost has enough body to it where it's like, yeah. Oh, it almost feels like this isn't just a little chicken wing.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I 100% agree.
Okay. So what else to say about texture?
I think it's important to get that crunch, that crispiness. I think it's harder. It's not that easy to achieve. I've wrestled with it for many years trying to do it. And obviously we're getting into it here a little bit through the cooking techniques that get into that crunch. I think once you achieve it, it's like finding Shangri-La. It's
Nirvana. Totally. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So we're going to talk about cooking methods after we get through our component section here. So let's talk about then size. And in your note that you sent over, you said no possum legs. What do you mean by that?
You know, I've had wings that are massive. They're borderline to the point of drumsticks. You know, when I was joking about the GMOs and the steroids and all that stuff here in Germany, and also throughout my travels throughout the world, we're one of the few countries that actually do that make our chickens gigantic.
Yeah. Pump them up, yeah.
Yeah, pump them up. And you'll go to like somewhere like the Middle East and Bahrain and you grab a chicken wing. It's tiny. Originally, they're very, very small. But, you know, I'm an American. I'm red-blooded. So I do like my steroids. But
So I've never had a possum leg. So when you say no possum legs, you mean don't make them too big?
Exactly.
Or make them too small. Okay.
Yeah, too big because, you know, you start pushing closer and closer to the full size drumstick thing. And it's a very different texture. It becomes chewier, harder to handle with the cooking. I mean, obviously, you cook it just like you would a regular chicken drumstick. But I think that once you go too big, you're starting to deviate away from what that chicken wing is supposed to feel like, taste like.
But you bring up a point that I just have to ask now. Have you ever done like regular chicken drumsticks, buffalo style?
I haven't.
You should try it. It's probably fantastic.
Yeah, I might give it a go. I don't know. I see the drumstick and then I see the pack of chicken wings and I migrate myself. I just gravitate to that pack of chicken wings.
One other question on sourcing chicken wings for a home cook. Depending on how many people you're trying to feed with these, like if you're throwing a big party, you need a lot. But even so, like in my supermarkets and grocery stores, I don't typically see big packs of wings. So how do you feel about frozen wings? You know, raw, but frozen.
So frozen is an interesting thing because, you know, when you're doing the cooking of the wing, you want to get as much water out of it before you cook it. Okay.
Because, like, you know, you can get like a bag of frozen wings and there's like 50 of them in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Something. Yeah, right.
But they're frozen, so that ice or that inherent like liquid is on there. So I'm a fan of defrosting them first, patting them dry, getting as much off there. And that becomes a little bit more of a process when you're using the frozen wing. Nothing against the frozen wing, but I like to, like I was saying, I like to go after that crunch, that bite, and there's a big process involved as far as drying them out. So when you go in with a frozen one, you're kind of adding an extra few layers. You know, there might be some ease of purchase when you're grabbing that giant bag, but in the end, you're going to do a little bit more work when you're trying to dry them out.
Got it. Okay. All right. What else about size? Can we talk a little bit, and you mentioned it a second ago, but there's like the two parts to a chicken wing. Mm-hmm. Or three parts, I guess, if you count the tip. But the two main parts that you would find like at a restaurant if you ordered wings. The drum, and you called the other piece the flapper.
The flapper, yeah.
Are you a drum? You're a flapper guy?
I'm a flapper guy.
I kind of figured that about you.
When I go to the big family restaurant Hooters, I always order 10 wings hot, breaded, 911 on the side, all flappers. I always order all flappers. I like a dark meat. Yeah, I do.
So some poor line cook is back there like picking through, finding just flappers for your order.
I'm sure it's like this discarded bucket at some point because you know, restaurants allow, if the restaurant allows you to pick between the two, most people will go after the drum. It's the easier part, right? It's one bone versus the two, and it's typically, I mean, it's easier to eat, right? So you could go one-handed. I could go one-handed with either side of the wing. I don't want to brag, but I'm an expert like that. But the bone, the wing part is usually the most popular. But I go after the other, so it's probably the discarded bone. But
Know, with the flapper side, I think if you got a good coating, a good texture, a good sauce, there's probably a higher skin and sauce ratio on a flapper to meat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No. Whereas a little drum, you're like, it's mostly meat.
Yeah.
And
I usually like, so they when I buy them fresh. They come together. So when I go to cut them, obviously I cut the skin, but I don't cut through the bone. What I'll do is I'll sort of bend it back in the opposite direction, so that bone joint sort of separates, and then you can run your knife right down the middle. So you're not, you know, using like a giant cleaver or something like that to try to go through bone. You kind of get in between there, and it's a softer cut, and it makes for a nicer wing.
Okay. I guess we just talked about cut then. I don't think we need to probably talk about that anymore. That's pretty self-explanatory. But here's the last component that we haven't talked about at all yet. And this is probably the most controversial. I mean, flavor, sauce, that's not controversial.
Yeah,
I don't think. Sides, I think can be controversial.
Yeah.
So if you're a buffalo wing guy, you're probably, or gal, you're probably blue cheese and celery, right?
Absolutely. I
mean, that's like the side.
I didn't realize there was any other options if you want to, you know.
Well, I don't want to pick on anybody, but I'm going to go back to the group real quick.
Oh, no.
I'm not picking on Nicole Wilk, but she likes fried wings, of course, but with ranch dressing.
Okay. Just ranch?
That's what she said in the Facebook comment. I mean, she might like other things, but that's her, you know. I said, what's your favorite style? She said fried with ranch dressing. And I've had wings with ranch. It's all right. But so I mean, the blue cheese, especially if they're buffalo wings. Because you got that hot kick, kind of that nasally mouth burn hot, and then you got the kind of the funky, cool blue cheese. It's just it's really like a match made in heaven.
It's a perfect marriage. I'll say this. For me, if you see me dip my wing into blue cheese, that means I'm not truly a fan of the sauce that's on the wing. If the sauce is right, I just go without the sauce. I mean, if the wing sauce is right, I go without the blue cheese and the ranch. I just wipe it to the side. That's for celery dipping after the fact.
Okay. But
you'll know this about me. If I'm dipping it into that blue cheese, I mean, I'm not a fan. It's either too vinegary, too hot, too something. It's not a standout thing. But if I'm going alone, which I like to do, I like to really enjoy the wing. I'm a French fries with nothing guy. I like that potato flavor. I like whatever seasoning you put on there. No ketchup, no nothing. Really? I like to enjoy the base flavor of whatever it is you cooked. So
you're a mess. Okay.
I'm very particular. I'm a picky guy.
So what other sides are we talking about then? So because it probably really depends on your flavors, right? Like if you've got a Korean wing, you're not going to be dipping it in ranch or blue cheese.
No. I've seen carrots as sides. I've seen bread as sides. Like the wings will come. They'll be sitting on like a really thick piece of Texas toast or something like that to kind of soak up that grease and that flavor after the fact.
What about dipping sauces? Any other dipping sauces?
I mean, aside from the big two are ranch and blue cheese, right? I mean, those are the big two. I tend to – blue cheese sauce is something I haven't even attempted to make at home, but I will doctor up. I'll buy a little piece of blue cheese, a little bit, and add it to my blue cheese sauce just so you can have those big chunks in there. Cause you know, it's not cost effective for the companies to add tons of true blue cheese in there.
I will say though, and I don't know if you can get it in Germany, you probably can't, but because it's in the refrigerator section, but if you're going to go buy blue cheese dressing, for my money, Marie's chunky blue cheese dressing. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And it's got chunks in it. It's got
chunks in it.
Actual chunks in it. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But I'm a purist.
But you should try to make blue cheese dressing and dip at home. It's not hard and it's really pretty good, except it doesn't hold long.
Oh, really?
Like you have to use it like the day you make it. I've tried it a few times and it's really great the day you make it. But if like you put it in a jar and put it in the fridge, it gets kind of, it just doesn't work. It kind of separates and gets watery and it just kind of loses its oomph. But I'll find a recipe and I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I've never tried it. That'd be really cool.
It's easy. Yeah,
it's come full circle.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So those are our components, or I should say your components, for a perfect wing, although I agree with most of them. Should we talk about how to actually cook these darn things?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
And let me just read off the list that you sent me. And I don't know that we need to go into each one of them, but this just gives folks an idea, I think, of like the variety of ways you could possibly cook. And even like Joan said in her Facebook comment, she broils them. So that's obviously one way you could do it. And really? This obviously, that's what she says. And this depends too on, you know, what you have available. Like if you only got an oven, that might be your only choice.
Yeah.
But you've got deep fry, confit, bake, grill, and then you have air fry.
Yes.
And so I've tried them both ways. I mean, to me, deep frying is the traditional, and it gives you, at least it gives me the results I look for. I've not tried some of these other methods to make chicken wings. So, but for my money, I would say deep fry, but that's a lot of work for a home cook.
Yeah. Right?
If you don't have some machine that deep fries for you and takes some of the guesswork out, you've got to have a nice heavy pot and some sort of a thermometer, and it's messy, and what the hell are you going to do with all that oil when you're done? And it can be kind of a hassle. So what's your go-to at-home method for making wings?
So this has been a experiment and a long-time search for the perfect at-home wing, which I have found, and it's the air fry. I've tried every method humanly possible. I've tried all those on the list, to include various putting flour on them, putting a batter on them, putting cornstarch on them. I've tried everything to get that, particularly the flapper, to get it crunchy and to get it to hold up to the sauce. Because I've had methods where I'll cook them, I'll let them sort of rest for a second, let that temperature sort of come down, and then put the sauce in, it becomes that gummy, bat wing sort of thing. And I struggled with it for many years, but the air fryer I just bought recently, it takes out the moisture. I don't know how an air fryer works, to be honest with you. I just know it's a machine of magic, because put it in there, put my wings in there, and it takes out the oil, that excess liquid, as it's frying the wing, and the skin gets bubbly. It gets really, really crunchy. You could pour sauce all day, all you want, all over it, and it still ends up with that nice bite. I don't know if... I mean, have you ever tried to confit a chicken wing?
No. That seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. You know, you take your wing and you put it in.
But you can do a lot of them. But I mean,
Yeah.
Right.
So I read the research on it. It breaks down sort of the collagen in it. What you do is you throw in the oil, 200, 250, very low temperatures for frying. You let it cook for like 20, 30 minutes. You'll take them out. You put it like on a cookie rack or something like that. You just let them sit, and then you crank up your oil to 400, 450, whatever you want, and you sort of flash fry them. The skin becomes so crunchy. It's like paper. It's that level of crunch. But again, it tends to not hold up to the sauce if you are kind of layering on pretty heavy. So, I'm a big fan of that air fryer.
Interesting. So just on a quick tangent, what else have you made in your air fryer?
I just got it about like 2 weeks ago. So it's been fries. Obviously the kids are pretty much driving that train. Every different type of wing, tons of them. I actually am I'm working on doing a combo of sous vide to air fryer sort of thing. I've seen people do steaks in there, which kind of seems like blasphemy to me, but I'll give it a go. I don't know if I'll do it with a really expensive cup. Yeah. Yeah.
That seems weird to me.
But I'm going to try it with a sous vide to get that crunch sort of on the outside and see how that goes.
Well, listen, you need to try a bunch of different things, because I need to have you back on to talk about it, because I've had a lot of people say, like, you need to talk about air fryers. And I don't have one, so I don't have firsthand experience using one. And I don't really want to go out and buy one right at the moment. Yeah. Maybe I should, but so I could definitely use your field notes. So try a bunch of things and let's. I will.
I honestly was not a believer. I work so a little background on myself. I work with soldiers on a day to day basis, and one of the soldiers that sits near me, he just was ranting and raving about his air fryer, and I me being me, I it was just nothing but mockery lobbed at him all day long about, you know, air fryer being sort of a gimmicky tool. Mm-hmm. But he brought it into the office one day and, you know, plugged in his air fryer and made us all chicken wings right there. And this is a professional office with an air fryer going right in the middle of it. And it was delicious. So I went out and I dropped a couple bucks on it. And my entire family's in love. My wife really loves it because it's so simple. She just throws, you know, her wings or her meat in there and let it go.
And it's not that big, right? It's like the size of like a coffee maker or something, or maybe a little bit bigger. Or
it's a little bit bigger. It's probably the size. Mine is the size of. It's bigger than a basketball. It's about twice the size of a basketball.
Okay, all right. Interesting.
It sits on the countertop, and you know, it does a really good job if you want crunch to your food without the oil, without the mess, so without that. But yeah, we really love it.
Okay, so if we don't have a frying in one form or another as an option, I know you are pretty adamant that there's really no other good way besides maybe confiting, but that's a whole nother level of effort to get a good crispy cooked wing. So what do you say to the broiling? What do you say to the baking? What do you say to the grilling?
The grilling, it can be fun, but it becomes a very different animal once you've grilled it. The grill inherently just changes that skin. I think it's almost a completely different dish once you
grill it. Grilled chicken. Yeah.
It's delicious, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but it's different because you're adding a layer of char, a layer of smoke to it that changes that flavor profile.
I guess after you grill, you can take it off, because typically what you do with any wing, right, with the sauce, I guess we didn't really talk about this, but after you've cooked them, that's when you apply the sauce afterwards, right? It's not like you're dipping your wings in buffalo sauce and throwing them in the deep fryer or throwing them in the oven. It's you're cooking them crisp, drying them out, getting that texture, and then you toss them like in a bowl with your sauce and serve them. Yeah.
Right. And I tried it the other way recently, actually today, and I marinated my wings and then threw them in the air fryer, and the marinade and they were being caramelized, so they came out like a black color because of that caramelization. But it was still tasty. But it just, I don't know if having a char looking wing is really the most presentable thing that you want to serve up to guests or your family. I ended up eating them all by myself, but they were good. They just had that deep caramelization.
Interesting. Okay, so frying one way or the other is really the way to go. What else do we need to talk about wings? That was kind of the end of our list, but what else?
You know, during our conversation, you were talking about the baking method that you thought that you could achieve nirvana baking.
Well, yeah, you said I could achieve baking or nirvana through baking a wing. I don't know if that's exactly what I said, but I think you could probably maybe get 75% there, which might be good enough in a pinch, but I think there's probably a couple things you'd have to do. You'd have to put them on a rack when you're baking them, because you don't want them sitting in their own juice, right? Because that'll just ruin them. And you probably need really, really high heat.
Yes.
I'm guessing, right? You can't just sit there and slow cook them. You got to really blast them with heat. If you have a convection setting on your oven, that would probably be great, because that'll circulate air, which is kind of what an air fryer does, as I understand it. It circulates hot air really fast over the surface of your food with like a little bit of oil involved. It's probably way more efficiently and way more forcefully than a convection oven would, but still. And you know, you might be able to make it work on, you know, Super Bowl Sunday if you were in a pinch. I think you could make it work. It wouldn't be like deep frying, certainly. It wouldn't be like a traditional crispy, but you know, it wouldn't be like you boiled up a bunch of chicken legs and tossed them in sauce. I mean, that would be disgusting, right?
Yeah.
But I know you're skeptical.
Yeah, I am.
I need to do some experimenting.
I tried it so many times. I couldn't get what I wanted. I couldn't get that restaurant style, which always is always impressive to when a restaurant serves you up wings and they're done just right. Like, man, you've really hit the note with that oil temperature, with the prep before of drying out the wings. Because that's important, right? Is to take as much of the moisture out of the raw chicken before you've actually started to fry it.
Well, and you know, that's interesting you say that, because like if you're going to roast a chicken, like a whole chicken, that's like a great step to do. It's like leave your chicken out for several hours, preferably by a draft, like put it in a drafty window. I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but it will actually dry the skin out and take a lot of the moisture out of that chicken. And you'll end up with a much crispier skin. So I imagine the same thing could be done with chicken wings.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, we're a little too afraid of letting our meat sort of sit out before we cook it. You know, like a steak, you want to sort of let it come to room temperature a little bit before. I mean, we're so preconditioned to worry about salmonella and E. coli and all these crazy things. You know, the internet tells us, oh my God, there's a scare.
The first time I traveled abroad, I went to Mexico, not to Canada. I went to Mexico and I met a friend in Oaxaca, and we went to the big market, and I can't remember the name of it. I think it's just the Mercado. And I was blown away. It was the first time I'd ever been anywhere where it was like there were meat stalls.
Yeah.
Like non-refrigerated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like there's the chickens just hanging like out all day. And it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that was an eye opening, and it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfectly fine. You know, you had this conversation in the Facebook group, which I love that Facebook group, by the way. So thanks for putting that together, because
my pleasure. Honestly,
I'm a huge fan of that Facebook group. But the egg conversation of having the eggs out there. You know, we came to Germany, and I'm walking all over the store, like kind of eyeballing the cold sections, looking for eggs to buy. And they're sort of in the center by the bread. They're just kind of out there sitting there like a giant rack. And but I've also traveled abroad. I mean, I remember as a kid, I went to Peru, and we would go to the fish market, and the fish is sitting right out there, and it's okay. It's all good.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you don't want to leave it out there for days, but, you know.
No, but, you know, they probably sell through what they take out there, so it's not like they're bringing it back for weeks on end.
Right, exactly.
All right, Jairo. So listen, I know you've probably got some recipes that you might be willing to share up your sleeve. Maybe you can send those over to me, or tips. I want to put them in the show notes. So if you have a sauce recipe or anything like that, even if it's not your own and you just know of one on the internet somewhere that's a good one, I can link to it. And I'll also link back, as we mentioned earlier, to my old episode where I talked about chicken wings. Yeah. And your episode where we talked to Matt Reynolds, because I put some recipes in there too. I put Matt's recipe, which is really a good recipe.
It really is.
On him, he should know.
Celery salt, which was to me was kind of sort of like an interesting thing. I didn't even think of that when he made it.
Yeah, so I'll put that in there. But we'll put a ton of good stuff in the show notes, so if folks want to check that out. And anything we mentioned here about our ramblings about the perfect chicken wing, and like I said, you need to come back after you play around with your air fryer a little bit more, because I need the skinny on that for sure.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'll tinker with it and see what I can cook in that thing. I'm a huge fan right now.
So other than our Facebook group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break, where can people track you down if they want to complain about your taste in wings?
Yeah, so as kind of we touched on, I have a podcast of my own. We review movies. It's nothing like the Kitchen Counter podcast, where, you know, it's this friendly thing. It's sort of a more of a crass look at movies. It's two regular guys drinking beer and talking crazy about movies. That's the True Bromance Film Podcast. You can find that anywhere you want. I'm pretty heavy on Twitter, at True Bromance Cast. But you know, for your listeners, you can find me at the Kitchen Counter Podcast, the Coffee Break. I love that Facebook page. I constantly refresh that, and I'm not a Facebook guy, but I love the conversation that you've got going on there. I love the pictures and the recipes and the questions. To me, that's like my outlet for talking about cooking.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fun spot. So thanks for the plug. If you haven't joined, you should definitely go and check it out. What's my link? KitchenCounterPodcast.com/group, and that'll take you over, and you can ask to join. If you're not a Facebook person, sorry, that's just the easiest place to do it for now. So I understand if you're not a Facebook person, by the way, dear listener. But
I'm not, life. But I still enjoy it. I'm definitely not.
I know. All right, Jairo. I appreciate the time, man. I know it's early in your side of the globe, so I appreciate you joining me and talking about Perfect Chicken Wings.
I really appreciate you having me. I have to like beg for you to like let me come back on all the time. I'm always sending you direct messages. Come on, Roger, let's do something. Let's talk about chicken wings or meat or something. Come on, man. Well, let me back on.
Now I can ignore your messages for a few months.
Yeah, exactly. You just put me on mute. All right, I'm done with you. But no, again, thanks for bringing me on, man. It was I always have a good time talking to you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jairo of the True Romance Film Podcast. Now, remember, if you want to get to the show notes to find some of the chicken wing goodness we talked about, you can find those over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/133. And you'll get to the show notes with links to past episodes and some recipe links and things like that. So thanks again, Jairo, for joining me. That was a lot of fun. And as I mentioned, as we talked about on this episode, I hope to have Jairo back in the not too distant future to talk about air fryers, because I've been getting a lot of requests for that. And yeah, I just really need to get on that. All right. Well, that's going to do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to tune in and listen. I really, really appreciate it. And you know what? If you get some value out of the show and you enjoy it, all I ask is that you tell somebody about it and help us grow our little community here by sharing it with family or friends or coworkers or whoever you think might get a kick out of some home cooking discussion. All right, everybody. Once again, I am Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, happy cooking.